Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. Before we begin this week's episode, a little bit of housekeeping. About 18 months ago, I lost my Patreon to some lovely hackers who helped themselves to my account. Long story short, my Patreon was deleted. I have restarted my Patreon, but this time I've decided to keep it completely free moving forward. I want it to be more of a community space for the podcast. There won't be any ad-free episodes, but I will post additional photos and case notes, as well as updates on previous episodes. If you'd still like to support the show financially, I've created an Amazon wish list full of books. This podcast takes a lot out of me, and I've found reading has really helped my mental health. As a thank you, anyone who purchases a book from my wish list can leave a note with a case suggestion, and I'll prioritise covering it within the next 3 months, as well as give you a shout out on the episode. Now, of course, financially supporting the podcast is never expected. Listening, sharing episodes, commenting, and just being here as a support genuinely helps more than you know. I will place a link to the Patreon and the Amazon wish list in the show notes. June 2023, Northumberland, United Kingdom. A mother and father on the run. A newborn baby no one could find. What happened when a young family vanishes, and why did it end in tragedy? This is Victoria's story.
Constance, I can tell you, the baby's not alive. Is it your baby?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So just to clarify, you just told me the baby that we found this evening.
Yeah.
Is your baby?
Yeah.
Constance Martin was born May 16, 1987, to parents Virginia and Napier Martin, Napier being the former page to the Queen of England. Martin was not only the eldest of four children, but the only daughter. Martin was seriously born into an unbelievable life of privilege that most of us will never experience. She grew up at Crystal House, a vastly state house in Dorset. Her playmates were children of royalty and socialites. She attended a prestigious boarding school, St. Mary's School in Shaftesbury, where she studied Arabic. Martin was a beneficiary of a large trust fund left to her by her grandmother. Virginia and Napier divorced in 1996 and he moves to Australia. Virginia was married the following year, in 1997, to a man named Guy Delias. The family start going to church and Martin embraces this. She becomes an active member of the congregation at Holy Trinity in Brampton. And through this, at age 19, Martin ends up going to Nigeria to spend time at the Synagogue Church of All Nations. She would spend 4 months there, living on a compound. Growing up, Constance Martin would be described by those who knew and loved her as bright, witty, compassionate, kind, and truly independent. It's not clear what happened in Nigeria. There have been some allegations of abuse from other attendees, but not Martin herself. Now, I don't want to go as far as to call this compound a cult, but this allegation has been loosely thrown around. All we know with any certainty was when she returned, Martin was a completely different person. After this time, Martin begins working as a model, and she pursues a career in journalism, accepting a job as a senior researcher at Al Jazeera. She would also go to drama school, but ended up dropping out, and that seems to be a pattern with Martin throughout her life. She would try something, give up, and then try something else. And I mean, she didn't need to lock into any one thing because she had that trust fund she would receive large monthly payments from. In 2014, she meets Mark Gordon at an Indian incense shop in London. 2 years later, in 2016, the couple married in Peru in a non-official ceremony. Mark Gordon was born June 8, 1974, in London, England, before he moved with his siblings and mother to Florida in the United States. Gordon's mother was a nurse, and from my research, she was an incredible single mother, as most are. She was empathetic and loving, and gave her children everything they could have needed. April 29, 1989. 14-year-old Mark Gordon held a woman against her will in Florida for more than 4 hours. He raped her while armed with a knife and hedge clippers. He threatened to harm her 2 children, who were literally sleeping in the same house. Within a month of that crime, May 21st, 1989, Gordon entered into another home and beat a sleeping man with a shovel that he'd brought with him while trying to rob him. The man's wife and baby also being in the house at the time, with the wife actually managing to bravely chase Gordon away. For these crimes, Gordon was found guilty of 1 count of armed kidnapping, 4 separate counts of armed sexual battery, and 1 count of burglary with a deadly weapon. He was sentenced to 40 years in prison. The woman who was brutally raped gave a victim impact statement to the court, quote, "Please protect the innocent by keeping the guilty in prison for his life. Show him no mercy. Show the guilty are punished and not merely chastised," unquote. Gordon was released after 22 years in 2010 on parole, and that's when he's deported with his mother to Birmingham, England. Gordon is now in his late 20s. He ends up working as a labourer, and that's when he meets Constance Martin. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Constance Martin was putting distance between herself and the rest of her family. Now, this is a massive red flag when it comes to relationships. Generally, abusive partners want a distance from families because then there isn't any support to help that person leave the relationship. And according to reports, Martin's family, understandably, didn't approve of Gordon. "Honestly, neither would I if any of my children brought home a convicted rapist." Martin's family would later testify at trial that they believed Gordon to be really controlling. And when they received text messages from their daughter, they felt that it wasn't her texting them, that it was actually him. Just the way they were written didn't resonate as her. Ultimately, they cut off her money in hopes that would bring her home, but it didn't. Martin and Gordon were living this chaotic, transient lifestyle, with an extensive history with CPS. Martin and Gordon having 4 children together, born between 2017 and 2022. The first pregnancy occurred when they were travelling around South America. When they returned to the United Kingdom, it was recommended she and the baby have a full health screening. This never happened. Martin would actually never see a doctor for prenatal care for any of her pregnancies. At this point, a national hospital alert was raised. And this is when you're required to go into the hospital, confirm your identity, and get a full checkup to make sure you, and in this case the baby, are okay. Martin's family would also hire a private investigator. They wanted to confirm for themselves that everything was okay. When she went into labour, Martin did go to hospital and she gave a false name, Isabel O'Brien. She also went as far as disguising her voice, using an Irish accent. She said she was a traveller and that Gordon was just a supportive friend. Now, she would later claim she did this because she believed her family was oppressive and bigoted. That the only reason they didn't approve of the relationship was because Gordon was Jamaican. I believe this was the least of her family's concerns. It was the violent criminal convictions and the isolation of their daughter that they were actually concerned about. Now, the hospital saw through all of this, and because of the hospital alert, they contacted police. When they arrived at the hospital, Gordon gave police a fake name. He also gives his birth date as April 31st, which doesn't even exist. Long story short, Gordon gets into a physical altercation with the female officers, and this is all going down in the maternity ward. At this point, CPS becomes involved with the couple. There is obviously a concern with what is going on with this young family, and they would end up intervening. They also apply for supervision, because they find out that Martin is living in a tent with a newborn baby. It is winter at the time, so there is obviously a well-being issue for the weather alone, let alone everything else. Regardless, with the help of CPS, the couple would end up securing an apartment in London. April 2019, Constance Martin gave birth to a second baby. And again, she hadn't received prenatal care for this child, but also no antenatal care for the first baby. And then November 21st, 2019, Constance Martin fell out of a first-story window at their home. Now, this isn't something that just happens. Sure, accidents do happen, and I'm very accident-prone myself. I've always got some bruises or bumps on me from running into things. But I've also lived in homes that have quite large first-story windows, and falling out would be very difficult and improbable by accident. A neighbour calling emergency services to help the injured woman. A neighbour, interestingly, and not Gordon, who was also in the home at the time. When emergency services get to the scene, Gordon makes it so hard to get to Martin and to treat her, wanting to make a confrontation in any situation. From this incident, Martin would be taken to hospital. She had lacerations to one of her kidneys, a shattered spleen, deep, serious injuries that could have been fatal. And at the time of this fall, Martin was already 14 weeks pregnant with the couple's third child. Thankfully, somehow the baby lived, despite those awful injuries that Martin experienced. Now, Martin absolutely insisted it wasn't an instance of domestic violence. She also repeatedly tried to leave the hospital during her 8-day stay to avoid being questioned further by the authorities. December 2019, Martin's father, Napier, he heard about the fall, and he immediately applied for temporary guardianship of his grandchildren because he was worried about their well-being. He offered to buy a house close by to him for Martin and the children to live at and to hire a nanny to help, all until Martin was back on her feet and well enough to be the mother she needed to be for them. The only condition being Gordon wasn't in the picture. But this was not appealing to Martin, and she takes the kids and runs to Ireland. After a minute, she does return to England because she wants to be with Gordon, and he can't leave England because of his parole conditions. May 2020, their third child is born. And then in May 2021, the couple had a fourth baby. Martin is basically pregnant their entire relationship. January 2022, a judgment was made by the family court, with the judge determining, quote, "I find in the balance of probabilities that the father caused the mother to fall out of the window. I'm not able to find whether he pushed her or whether she fell during a struggle. The former may be more likely." The strong impression given by the parents is that of two people are fiercely united in an unrelenting struggle against a non-existent opponent. I conclude that the parents have repeatedly prioritised their own need for privacy and secrecy above their children's health. Unquote. The judge also commented how Martin had failed to show up for a pre-arranged visit with her children, which had apparently left them inconsolable. As a result of this, all parental rights for Martin and Gordon were terminated, and the children were made wards of the state. Now, all of this is heartbreaking, because Martin had every opportunity, every support system in place to keep her children, yet she chose Gordon over having her babies. And as a mother, I will never understand that thought process. When Martin discovers herself pregnant with her fifth child, the couple basically went to extreme lengths to hide it. Because if CPS knew of the pregnancy, the baby would be automatically taken at birth, and they wanted to keep her. What we know what happened is that Martin and Gordon rented a holiday cottage on December 20th, 2022. And then Victoria Martin was born 4 days later, December 24th, in an upstairs bedroom of Woodcutter's Cottage in Holtzwhistle, Northumberland. There was no prenatal checks and no medical support during the birth. No one knew Martin was pregnant this time around. After that, they went off the grid. They were thought to be sleeping in a tent. Now, this is midwinter in England. I can only imagine how bitterly cold it would have been at this time. January 5th, 2023. Emergency services are called to a burning car. It had been abandoned on the side of the motorway, the M61, in the Horwell area of Bolton, Greater Manchester. And after some good old-fashioned police work, it was discovered the owners of the car were Constance Martin and Mark Gordon. And it honestly wasn't a difficult discovery, because Martin and Gordon left behind a number of belongings, including cell phones, Martin's passport, £2,000 in cash and clothing. But what concerned police the most was what else they found. They found a placenta wrapped in a towel on the back seat of the car. Now, obviously, this was set up so everything would be burnt and no identifying items could be recovered. But because there was a placenta found, police were immediately worried about the welfare of the mother and baby. Because someone who had a baby recently, they could have lost a lot of blood. So that makes two people at high risk, and police wanted to make sure they were safe. And this is when the search for the young family would start, the national search gripping the country, which, of course, because we're talking about a newborn baby involved, everyone just wanted to make sure the baby was found safe. But also much of the public interest surrounded the dynamics of the couple, an aristocratic white woman and a black man with a violent criminal record basically on the run. A number of sightings were reported over the next few weeks. This was whilst the couple were on the run and living off the grid. At this point, a £10,000 reward was offered for any information which resulted in them being found safely. January 19, 2023, Constance Martin's father, Napier, made an appeal to his daughter in an independent newspaper.
Darling Constance, even though we remain estranged at the moment, I stand by, as I have always done, and as the family has always done, to do whatever is necessary for your safe return to us. I beseech you to find a way to turn yourself and your wee one into the police as soon as possible.
February 27, 2023. Finally, Martin and Gordon were arrested. This was after a nearby sighting by a member of the public. They had used Martin's bank card and an ATM to withdraw some money. So at this point, police were alerted, and they were indeed able to find them. However, baby Victoria wasn't with them. She was nowhere to be seen. Also, the couple were completely uncooperative from the start. They refused to answer questions about where the baby was, whether she was alive. Gordon was limping and using a walking stick. Turned out he had an infected toe. It was clear the couple hadn't been taking care of themselves and had not been eating properly. Gordon was basically begging to be fed when they were arrested. You aren't going to hear me feeling sorry for them, though. Because tragically, March 1st, 2023, the decomposing body of baby Victoria was discovered in an allotment shed in Brighton. She had been wrapped in a blanket and then placed under a pile of rubbish, which included sandwich wrappers, beer cans, Coke cans and some newspaper pages. It was disgusting. Just to throw your newborn baby away like trash is beyond comprehension, especially since they apparently so very much hid this pregnancy so they wouldn't lose custody of the baby. After Martin was told her baby had been found, she did actually begin answering questions. And now this is when a timeline of the couple's movements were mapped out. December 26, 2022, 2 days after Victoria was born. They left the holiday cottage and they travelled towards Leeds. It turns out that that evening they had car trouble late at night and they had to be towed. They were left in a Sainsbury car park. Martin and Gordon, along with Victoria, stayed at a limb service hotel in Cheshire. And after that, they stayed at an AC hotel in Manchester. January 5th was the night that their car had been set alight, a passing car giving them both a lift to a shop in Bolton. Now after this, they took a taxi to Liverpool, and then another taxi from there to Essex. And this is where they ended up staying the night their child was declared missing, which was described as a high-risk missing persons investigation, a member of the public recognising them. And I guess in an effort to get them to stay put, while he worked out how to contact police without the couple knowing, he offered them a hot drink and some food back at his place. Gordon declined and told him they were on the way to London to stay with family. They were then seen in a kebab shop with a baby in a pram before getting into a taxi to travel to Whitechapel. This is where they buy a tent, pillows and sleeping bags from Argos. They then get into yet another taxi and they ask the driver to take them to Enfield. But the driver asked them to get out of his taxi because they're covering their faces. Obviously disconcerting the driver, understandably so. They then take another taxi to New Haven. Now from January 8th, 2023, they are believed to have slept in a tent. And Martin said that her daughter Victoria passed away on January 9th. Now bear in mind, it's winter in England, so it's really freezing temperatures. And I wouldn't imagine they bought a quality tent that is meant to be used in incredibly cold climates. Add on to that, here is a newborn baby who isn't able to regulate their own temperature as yet. These are all the elements needed for a disaster to occur. January 12, 2023, Martin went to a petrol station, a gas station. She bought some food. She bought a bottle of petrol. Now, initially, the reason they did that was they planned to use the petrol to cremate their daughter. But then Constance Martin decided that she wanted to have an autopsy, which really doesn't make much sense because they haven't even registered the baby's birth. None of the authorities knew Victoria even existed. And yet, here is Martin wanting an autopsy. It is possible that Martin wasn't thinking with any clarity as well. Now, on January 16th, 2023, 4 days later, a member of the public sees a tent in a nature reserve in Stanmer Park near Brighton. Another sighting of that tent is in Seaford, at the Seven Sisters Cliff at the end of January. Then on February 20th, Martin and Gordon were seen searching through the bins at Hollingsbury Golf Course. This was after they tried breaking into the golf course. They were obviously very hungry and looking for food. Now, February 27th, 2023, they again tried to steal some food. They then use an ATM, and that's ultimately how they are captured by authorities. During their travels, Martin and Gordon would cover their faces the best they could. They didn't want to be recognised. In fact, Victoria was often completely hidden under Martin's zipped coat. However, towards the end of her life, she was carried around in a canvas tote bag, which is utterly disturbing to me. Why in what world would you have an actual live baby inside a tote bag? Not only is this abuse, but it's completely neglectful. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. January 15th, 2024 would be the commencement of the criminal trial of Constance Martin and Mark Gordon, both being charged with concealment of the birth of a child, cruelty to a baby, and intending to pervert the course of justice by the concealment of their baby's body. They were also charged with allowing the death of their baby and gross negligence manslaughter. However, the manslaughter charge was an alternative to the charge of allowing the death of a baby, presumably meaning they could only be charged with one of those two counts. Now, the prosecution claimed that the parents had willfully neglected or exposed Victoria to the elements in a manner likely to cause unnecessary suffering or injury to health. They alleged that, basically, they failed to take care of the opportunities they had in front of them. So different actions resulting in completely different outcomes, and Victoria being still alive. As for the autopsy of baby Victoria, because ironically, Victoria did have the autopsy Martin wanted for her daughter, but the medical examiner reported they weren't able to determine a cause of death, that it may have been hypothermia, it may have been smothering, that neither of those things could be ruled out as being the cause of death. When it came down to Constance Martin giving evidence, she was really upset. She described the day that Victoria died. She said they were sleeping in their tents. It was only the first night in the tent and she had baby Victoria in her jacket. Quote, "When I woke up, she wasn't alive. I believe it was January 9th. I feel guilty because she was in my arms. I feel like it's not an easy thing to live with. I think initially it was disbelief, shock, intense grief." Unquote. Martin went on to say, quote, "I do feel guilty for falling asleep on her. I do feel responsible if that is what happened because the autopsy is not complete." Unquote. And here is Martin taking responsibility for her daughter's death by co-sleeping, something she had been warned previously against doing unsafely with her older children by CPS. Now, Gordon would later testify they didn't move away from the baby's body for 3 whole days, that they actually considered taking their own lives. Martin told the court that she and Gordon had spoken about what to do with baby Victoria's body. They discussed cremating her, and they also discussed killing themselves after doing that. Now, understandably, the prosecution questioned her about the living arrangements, the fact that the baby had been exposed to such conditions in the middle of winter. About this, Martin said, quote, "There are people around the world who live in tents. There are children who live in igloos. As long as you give them warmth and love and food." Unquote. A complete delusion of provision, not a reality. Martin does say in court that being in a house would have been more preferable, but she also said it was the only option they had at the time, that she was well cared for and well loved. Martin was asked if she'd ever been cruel. She replied she did nothing but show her love to her daughter, adding that she had given Victoria, quote, the best that any mother would, unquote. I would beg to differ here because there were other options, where Victoria could have ended up in foster care most likely, and not died because of her environment, where she was well cared for. And this would have been the most loving decision Martin could have given to her daughter. Martin also said she didn't tell police where Victoria's body was because she was panicked and scared. She also told the court that by the time they were actually arrested, she and Gordon were very unwell. That it was clear they couldn't continue living like this, not eating, sharing leftover food out of the bin. It wasn't something that was long-term sustainable. Quote, I said to Mark, we're going to have to get some money. I knew as soon as I used the card, the police were going to come. Unquote. March 23rd, 2024. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon were found guilty on the counts of concealment, cruelty, and preventing the course of justice. However, the jury could not come to a decision regarding the counts of allowing the death of their baby and gross negligence manslaughter. So that meant that a retrial for those charges needed to be arranged. Now, both the initial trial and the retrial were delayed on a number of occasions, due to Martin and Gordon literally attempting to disrupt the court process. For example, Martin didn't come to court on multiple occasions, but then refused medical treatment. She would yawn throughout her testimony, which is never a good look to the jury. Martin also announced during her testimony that Gordon had a violent rape conviction. And of course, the problem with that is that it can prejudice the jury, and that's why the jury isn't supposed to know about previous crimes. It was suggested that Martin had actually done that as a deliberate attempt to sabotage the trial, but Gordon insisted that he wanted to continue with the trial, that he wasn't worried about any prejudice. The retrial was scheduled March 2025. Now, the defence argued that Victoria's death was an accident, that basically a sleep-deprived mother had fallen asleep while breastfeeding her baby, with absolutely tragic consequences. Something they argued could happen to any sleep-deprived mother of a newborn. However, the prosecution argued that the baby had to endure cold, damp and windy conditions, all while wearing inadequate clothing inside the tent. That it was simply too cold, that this baby could not maintain her temperature and death was inevitable. Now, this time around, Gordon spoke at trial. At some point prior to the retrial, he had dishonoured to part with his defence and represent himself. Very smart. Gordon would argue that his and Martin's state of mind was challenged at the time of Victoria's death, that they were deranged, and this was all a result of losing custody of their children. Gordon becoming overwhelmed with emotion, quote, we are the ones who have to live with what's happened. You have to understand our perspective if you are judging us. Unquote. July 14, 2025. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon were found guilty of manslaughter. Martin reportedly saying this was a scam. Look, I believe they did love Victoria, and I think they believe they cared for her needs. But the fact that Victoria died because of their negligent decisions. This could have ended completely different if they went through the proper channels and didn't try to evade the authorities. And when a child does die due to the actions of others, there needs to be justice. There has to be justice for that child.
In terms of the roles you each played, in my judgment, it would be wrong to seek to distinguish between the two of you. I propose to treat you both as being equally culpable. Neither of you gave much, if any, thought to the care or welfare of your baby. Your focus was on yourselves.
September 2025, Judge Mark Lucraft, KC, who was the most senior judge in Old Bailey and had presided over both trials. He sentenced both Constance Martin and Mark Gordon to 14 years in prison. Both Martin and Gordon must serve two-thirds of their 14-year sentence before they'll be eligible for parole. Said Judge Lou Craft, quote, it's clear neither of you gave much or any thought for the care or love of your baby, unquote. Judge Lou Craft went on to say they had displayed arrogance, quote, what you did towards baby Victoria can only be described as neglect. Neglect of the gravest and most serious type. Unquote. March 2nd, 2023. A candlelight vigil was held by the community at St. Mary Magdalene's Church in Brighton. And a memorial was made near where baby Victoria was found to remember a sweet little girl who died when her life had just started. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.